Chapter 12, The First Growl. After a moment's pause, Beelzebub continued, "This story of anathema reminds me of another story which may provide very useful material for understanding the strangeness of the psyche of the three-brained beings of that planet which has taken your fancy. Furthermore, it may reassure you a little and give you some hope that even if these peculiar terrestrial beings did learn how you had insulted them and should anathematize you, things might not turn out so badly for you after all. The story I'm going to tell you is about something that happened quite recently among the three-brained beings of that planet, and which came about as follows. In one of their large communities, there existed quite peaceably an ordinary being who was by profession a writer. Here you must know that in long past ages, one could occasionally run across beings of that profession who still invented and wrote something really by themselves. But in later epochs, and especially in recent times, writers have been of the kind that only copy out all sorts of ideas from many books already in existence and fit them together to make a new book. And in general, they prefer books that have reached them from their remote ancestors. I must point out that the books fabricated by contemporary writers, taken altogether, are the principal factor in diluting the reason of all the other three-brained beings there, until it has become, as the Venerable Mulla Nasr-ed-Din says, thinner than air. And so, my boy, the contemporary writer I was speaking of was just a writer like all the rest of them and was nothing particular in himself. One day, after finishing one of his books, he began to wonder what to write about next and decided to look for some new idea in the books piled up in his library, which every self-respecting writer there feels obliged to have. As he was rummaging about, a book called The Gospels fell into his hands. The Gospels is the name given there to a book written once upon a time by a certain Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about Jesus Christ, a messenger from our endlessness to that planet. This book is widely circulated among the three-centered beings there who nominally exist according to the indications of this messenger. And when this writer happened to come across that book, the notion suddenly popped into his head, why shouldn't I also write a gospel? According to certain investigations that I had to make for quite different needs of mine, he must then have deliberated as follows. Am I any worse than those ancient barbarians, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Johnny? At least I am more cultured than they were, and I can certainly write a much better gospel for my contemporaries. What is more, a gospel is the very thing that is needed just now, because the English and Americans have a great weakness for this book, and the rate of exchange of their pounds and dollars is not half bad just now. No sooner said than done. From that day forth, he wisered away at his new gospel. And from the moment it was finished and given to the printer, there began a whole series of unexpected events. At any other time, perhaps nothing would have happened, and this new gospel of his would simply have slipped into its niche in the libraries of the bibliomaniacs there, among the multitudes of other books expounding similar truths. But fortunately or unfortunately for this writer, it happened that certain power-possessing beings of the great community in which he existed had just been having rotten luck at roulette and baccarat in various resorts abroad and kept on demanding what is called money from the ordinary beings of their community. Whereupon, thanks to these inordinate demands, these beings at last awakened from their usual torpor and began to sit up. Seeing this, the power-possessing beings who had stayed at home became alarmed and took appropriate measures. Among these measures was the total and immediate destruction of anything new that appeared in their native land that could possibly keep the ordinary beings of their community from falling back into their torpor. It was just then that this writer's gospel appeared. In the contents of this new gospel, the power-possessing beings found certain things which, in their understanding, might keep the ordinary beings from hibernating again. And so they immediately decided to get rid of both the writer and his gospel, for by now they had become past masters at getting rid of native upstarts who did not mind their own business. But for certain reasons, they could not treat this writer in that way. This threw them into a quandary, and they hemmed and hawed about what to do. Some proposed simply to shut him up in a place teeming with rats and lice. Others to send him to Timbuktu, and so on and so forth. But in the end, they decided to anathematize both him and his gospel with public ceremony and according to all the rules. No doubt in the very same terms in which they would have anathematized you had they learned how you had insulted them. And so, my boy, it was there that the strangeness of the psyche of the contemporary three-brained beings of that peculiar planet showed itself. In the case of this writer, when he and his gospel had been publicly anathematized, the result was, as the highly esteemed Mullah Nasr ed-Din says, just roses, roses. What happened was this. When the ordinary beings of that community saw what a fuss was made over this writer by the power-possessing beings, they became greatly interested in him and bought and read avidly not only this new gospel of his, but also all the books he had written before. Whereupon, as is usual with the three-centered beings breeding on this peculiar planet, they gradually neglected all their other interests and talked of nothing but this writer, some praising him to the skies while others denounced him. The upshot of all this discussion and controversy was simply to increase the number of those interested in him, not only in his own community, but in others as well. And this occurred because some of the power-possessing beings of that community, their pockets bulging with money, continued to go to foreign resorts where roulette and baccarat were played. And still arguing about this writer, little by little, they infected the beings of other communities. In short, owing to the strangeness of their psyche, it has gradually come about that even today, when this gospel has long since been forgotten, the name of its author is known almost everywhere as that of an excellent writer. Anything he ever wrote is seized upon and regarded as indisputable truth. Everybody now regards his writings with the same veneration as was felt by ancient Colchians when they listened to the prophecies of their sacred Pythonesses. Here it is interesting to remark that if at the present time you were to ask any of the beings there about this writer, he would certainly recognize his name and speak of him as an extraordinary being. But if you went on to ask what he had written, it would turn out that most of them, if of course they confessed the truth, had never read a single one of his books. All the same, they would talk about him and discuss him and splutteringly insist that he was a being with an unparalleled mind and a phenomenal knowledge of the psyche of the beings dwelling on the planet Earth.